Zena, I'll always love you.
Welcome everyone to Zena Noober's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode 134. This podcast show is for all the Zena Noober subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So hello everyone, welcome back, and thank you for the welcome back for myself from my little vacation mission. I am back and got a lot to inform you on what's been happening, what's happened, and what's going on. So let's rock on with the show. First and foremost, to start off with, the song that you hear on this week's snippet is Carrie Roberts' No Matter What. So check it out. Buy the DVD, CD, and get to enjoy it. Okay. Over in the book recommendations over at Bold Stroke Books, due out soon. So this one is an expected upcoming release, and it's expected to be released in January 17th. And it's called Justifiable Risk by V.K. Powell. Of course, I have a link on my show notes for you. And the description goes, "The cure for grief is action, but is it worth the risk?" Greer Ellis is a hardworking homicide detective who excels at her job and values her reputation and her privacy. Since the death of a partner 2 years ago, work is the only thing that interests her, until Eva Saldana, an internationally renowned journalist, comes to town looking for answers in her brother's death. Eva is convinced that overdose labels so hastily applied to his case is not only wrong, but it's also a cover for murder. When evidence seems to point to a fellow officer, Greer's torn between her quest for the truth, allegiance to her profession, and her growing desire for Eva. But is the risk they must take to be together justifiable? So that's Justifiable Risk by V.K. Bell. I have a link on my show notes. Okay, in the movies, over at Movies for Lesbians, what's hot on the lesbian movie scene, over at moviesforlesbians.com, we've got the movie called The Hours. It was made in 2002, and it has a star listing of Best Actress Nicole Kidman, who won an Oscar, Best Supporting Actor Ed Harris, Supporting Actress Julianne Moore, and the synopsis says, this movie is made to make a notice of Julianne Moore. She gives an incredible performance as an old and later old lady. She completely inhabits a character. Well done. Meryl Streep plays incredible performance. Nicole Kidman is great. And the film narrates the story of three women from three different eras who are tied together by the novel Mrs. Dalloway. So I'll have a link on my show notes where you can actually see a scene of it on the site.
Initializing process. Oh, crap.
Well, on the latest and greatest out for the websites, we don't have anything coming from ReneeO'Connor.net. She hasn't updated anything since the first week of November. And we don't have anything over at Sharon D's site on the official Lucy Lawless fan club site. So we've gone on over to AUSXIP and the news and multimedia network site for Mary D. And we just have the latest about what's going on over on the Spartacus front. Also on some Renee O'Connor donated items on Adrian Wilkinson's charity auction. And we do have some information that Lucy at the Pleasure Dome DVD news is being released. And some behind the scenes of the Gods of the Arena looks. So if you want to check out AUSXIP and catch up on the latest information over there. Thank you. I had to, of course, introduce my latest and greatest adventure that way to signify the great Chariot of Fire race that I did. For those of you who have been either never listening to my show or living under a rock, as you know, I ran the New York City Marathon and raised money for cancer. First and foremost, I want to say a great big heartfelt thank you for those of you who donated. You helped achieve something that maybe one day we will all be able to see, which is a cure for cancer in cancer research. And you know who you are. You went to the site and donated on the links, and thank you. Thank you. And for those of you who didn't donate, I hope and pray that one day you will be moved by something or some way to donate to help find either a cause for cancer or for breast cancer, prostate cancer, or for any cure for any dreaded disease that we have in the world. But I was able to, the grand tally came up at $4,342. Now that is phenomenal, amazing, great, and I want to say thank you to everybody who did. We had donations come in from my union. They sponsored me for $500, which when the union secretary emailed me and he said, look, we've gone to the council members and asked them and they've said, yes, we would gladly donate. You could have knocked me over with a feather because I didn't expect that much money. And people, I mean, you guys opened up your wallets and your purses and you did a phenomenal job. People at work, people at my partner's job who donated baskets, who donated things so that we could raffle. My remedial massage therapist who raffled off a massage. It was absolutely heartwarming and just a, you know, it's a pleasure to know people like you and everyone else who donated to say, hey, this is a worthy cause. This was something that was for a good reason. And like I said, thank you so much. Check out the blog spot. You'll see the grand total in the left-hand side. I'll leave that up there for a while just so that everybody can see that. And yes, I finished the marathon. Excuse me, as I still have a little bit of a chest infection from having run the road race. It was the most exhilarating, phenomenal feeling I've ever had in my life for a sporting event. I started out in the third wave, because there was three waves, excuse me, and we watched as the professional women's went off, and then the professional men's went off, and each wave got their own cannon start off, and their own singing of the national anthem, and I was in the third wave, which is you have your elite, your sub-elite, and then you have us. And look, the people that I met, the people that ran, you would get people coming up to you, you know, you would see they were struggling and you'd go along, and I encountered a lady who, she had one arm and she was running along and you could see this was not something that was easy on her body, and it motivated me, it moved me. And look, I remember having when the Chilean miner that was running in the race, when he passed me, I had an injury, unfortunately, at mile 15. They suspected that I broke my left foot, but what it actually wound up being, it looks like I've torn the tendons and ligaments in my foot. But I did not stop. I said I would run this, walk this, crawl this if I had to, and I did. I ran up until mile 19, where I started taking a walk break in the running, and I would run and walk from there on. And by the time I got to Central Park to the end, I was beyond excruciating pain, but I was determined that I was not going to stop. And my heart broke when about less than a quarter of a mile from the finish, a lady broke down, her body just gave out, and she collapsed and had the paramedics there putting her up on the gurney. And that was the ultimate anguish, to see that you could see the finish line. You could literally see the finish line. I could see the finish line. The lights, the flashes, the music, the people cheering. And it was a quarter of a mile. It was basically around the corner. And to get that close and for her not to be able to finish it would be heart-wrenching. And it just drove me that much further to go ahead and get this done. And I ran across that finish line. And it was the most self-worth accomplishment that I've ever had in my entire life. The fact that I pushed my body to the limits. I did it all by myself. No one out there ran for me. And I endured that. It was a feat, a phenomenal feat. Agony of defeat. Da-dum-bum-tsh. mentally grueling. Physically grueling. But the most rewarding thing I've ever done. Not only did I accomplish to raise the money, but I pushed my body past its normal enduring limits to see that I could accomplish something like this. And when I crossed that finish line, I just threw my hands up in the air, praised God, and started crying. And then the tears, of course, were of pain because my left leg collapsed. I literally went over into the medic's arms, and because they had a few medics check everyone as they're coming across. And they saw me hobbling at that point, coming across, running, hobbling. And he says, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, my leg's just giving out on me." And he grabbed me just as my leg gave out. And, of course, we had the doctors come over and put me in a wheelchair, take me to the med tent. And half an hour later, because they took my shoe off and it immediately ballooned up, I said, "Look, I have to go." And they're like, "Look, you're going to go to the hospital." I'm like, "No, I'm not. My family's out there. I'm going there." So they strapped up my leg, put me back in my shoe, and put the little thermal blanket on me, and gave me my crutches, and off I went. Once I exited out of the tent, they put me in a little golf cart and took me up the hill to get out of Central Park. But they deposited me. I was on 72nd Street, and I had to go to 77th Street. So I had to walk 5 Central Park blocks. It was maybe 10 degrees, if that. Freezing cold, dark as, but you could see all the runners around and all the police and everything, so I wasn't scared for my safety. So I hobbling along on this crutches and looking like Superman, and turned my thermal blanket around so that the wind wouldn't kill me. And of course my family's sitting waiting at 77th Street, and they're all looking down where all the other runners are coming out. And me being the smart ass that I am, I walked up behind them because they all had their backs to me looking down the line. I walked up behind them and kind of leaned into them looking the same way. And I said, "So, who are you guys waiting on?" And I got into so much trouble. Can I say that? And I know Tina and the Naughty Monkey are listening to me. The Naughty Monkey and the nurse are listening to me. And they were there. So they can appreciate that because they were one of the ones that were waiting on me. And, of course, my partner, who immediately jumped on me and burst into tears, and my mom, who jumped on me and burst into tears, and dad, just stoic dad, you know, he comes up and he grabs me and just kind of keeping me warm, but you could see the tears in his eyes. And there are 1,000 questions, you know, and I'm like, "Look, guys, look, I'm a crutch, you're going to knock me over." But I had to send my wife and my partner, my wife and my friend, down to go get my bag of goodies that the UPS trucks carry for you, because after a certain point they close them down, and if you have to go and pick them up the next morning, and I knew I was flying out the next day. So the Naughty Monkey and Julie went down to get it, and of course they got my bib number says I'm way down at the end. And so they had to go for a little walk. And then, of course, because it's pitch black coming back, then they got misdirected. So they wound up going all the way up to, like, 81st Street or 82nd Street, something like that, in the middle of Central Park. And they had to turn around and come back. So they went on a little nice adventure in Central Park in the middle of the night. And they finally came back, and we walked back to the hotel. And thank God for the naughty nurse. Just thank God for everybody who was there, but I wound up not being able to go to the after dinner for the Lance Armstrong thing because my foot was completely swollen at that point, and I was told under so many words by everybody that if I even attempted to get up and get out of the building that they were going to kill me. So needless to say, my partner then went out and got dinner for everybody, and thank God that I had my the naughty monkey and the nurse there, because they each took one leg and started massaging it and trying to put ice packs on it and, you know, make sure that the wrap was in place after I took my bath and everything. But look, phenomenal, fantastic, well worth every excruciating moment. The moment, you're in the moment, and if for anybody who's run a marathon, you can understand it. But to be in New York City, my hometown, to be there amongst all these thousands and thousands of people, and I forget what the total is, I think there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 46,000 people ran the race, and I think 30,000 were in my wave. And just a phenomenal, phenomenal thing, and a great accomplishment. I'm ecstatic to have done it. I have a medal to prove it. I have, because only finishers got the medals. I have a jacket now. My wife bought me a jacket, and she bought me a beautiful plaque to have my medal and photo that are going to be mounted professionally and stuff, and that should be here in the next 2 weeks. But I wanted to say thank you to everybody, all the well-wishers, all the people who showed their support. You know, James, Denny, Kim, Tina, Ina, Bobby, everybody. Look, you guys, Vanessa, you guys so rock. Thank you so much for your emails. Thank you for your words of encouragement. Thank you for the money you donated. And just thank you for being you.
Come and get.
So we continue on now with Ab Initio by Cruz. As everyone knows, I've been doing this story now for quite some time, and we're coming towards the conclusion. And we are on part 11. Rain finished dressing and heard a commotion outside. She smoothed out her clothing as she casually sauntered towards the window to investigate what the noise was all about. She peered out the window to see a vision of complete loveliness step out of a white limousine parked in the driveway. Rain's breath instantly escaped her. Her heart raced uncontrollably when she saw Lark laugh at something Holly said to her as she helped her out of the limo.
Wow, what a gorgeous woman.
Rain fondly thought when she finally was able to regain her breath. She was amazed that Lark was there to commit herself to her life together. She would have the splendid pleasure of spending the rest of her life with the most beautiful woman in the world. Rain's small smile grew in intensity. She has the most angelic smile, and her voice is like soft rain. Yep, the stoic Secret Service agent was getting choked up just thinking about what Lark meant to her. Everything in the world. And she actually feels the same way about me. Hi, sweetheart. Are you okay? Maria's voice softly asked as she rested her hand on the small of her daughter's back. Rain's nerves already seemed to be on edge. She hated to add to it by scaring her.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Mom.
Rain stammered. Her voice was full of emotion as she was startled out of her lark-filled trance. What are you looking at? She queried and smiled.
My dream come true.
Rain softly answered while reaching to push the blind back for her mother to see the object of her affection.
Oh, honey, Lark looks absolutely divine,
Maria happily exclaimed. They watched as Lark disappeared into the guest house.
Yes, she is, Mom, and she kept her word.
She's on time. Rain chuckled, looking at her shorter mother.
I'm so happy for you, baby. I'm sure there are no doubts about Lark that you need to discuss with me, right?
Maria asked with a laugh. It was plain to see the love in Rain's eyes for her future bride.
No doubts whatsoever, Mother. You know, I only thought I loved some of the other women I've been with.
Rain tried to explain, stopping to take a deep breath and compose herself as she tried to continue. Maria held Rain's hands to settle her daughter.
But I realized I don't know what love really was until Lark entered and graced my world. Now I know. It's her.
She wiped the tear from her eye before it fell down her tan cheek.
Oh, honey, that's all your father and I have ever wanted for you. We've always hoped that you would find and fall in love with your soulmate. You have, and we couldn't be happier for you.
Maria lovingly answered. Her own blue eyes began welling with tears of happiness for her daughter as she drew her close for a hug.
Thanks, Mom. I am so happy, and so in love with Lark.
Rain answered, breaking the hug.
She couldn't help from smile when she met the familiar blue eyes peering back at her.
Whoa! What a couple of babes!
Jace exclaimed with a broad smile as he entered the room and quickly headed for the two women.
Rain, you look so stunning. Lark is just going to... just... I don't know. Freak!
He was at a loss for words to describe his sister as he checked her out before pulling her in for a hug.
Thanks. You look pretty good yourself.
You both look fabulous.
Maria smiled proudly. Jace broke the hug and just stared at Rain completely enamored.
You really look great.
He gushed again with a huge smile.
Are you ready to lose your bachelorette hood?
He asked with a laugh and held out each of his arms to escort the ladies. I already lost that when I first laid eyes on Lark. But if you're asking officially, then more than you could ever imagine. Rain smiled as her brother escorted her and her mother out of the room. Lark entered the guest house, where she would finish dressing, and was flabbergasted by the amount of red roses that filled the living room. She was speechless, breathless, stunned. All of the above. She just stood there looking at the flowers in awe.
Wow, they're beautiful,
Holly exclaimed. She picked up the card quickly, handing it to the stunned actress. Lark wiped the tears of joy from her green eyes and read the note. A room full of beautiful roses could never come close to your beauty. I'm anxiously awaiting our date later today. I love you with all my heart. Rain. Lark smiled and cried harder.
Oh, she's so incredibly romantic,
she replied as Holly hugged her tightly.
Her brother needs to take a few lessons from her,
Holly teased.
Lark, you're a very lucky woman to have someone love you as much as Rain does. Now, stop crying. You don't want her to see you with red eyes. Brides aren't allowed to have those until after the vows.
Holly chuckled and wiped Lark's tears away. Lark finished putting on the finishing touches to her makeup and outfit as Holly did the same for her. She raised her lipstick to her mouth and paused before applying it, staring at herself in the mirror.
Rain means so much to me. I wonder if she realizes just how special she is. How did I get so lucky? The fates surely smiled upon me when they allowed Rain to enter my life.
She had always hoped that she would find a love so deep and true. She had with Rain.
Come on, honey. It's time.
Lark's father replied, smiling, and broke Lark out of a reverie.
Sorry. I'm finished.
She nervously stammered and quickly applied another coat of New Millennium lipstick before standing up. She smiled and received the kiss from her father. He then held out his arm for his beautiful daughter to escort her to the love of her life.
You look incredibly beautiful. Your mother and I are so happy for you. We wish you all the happiness in the world.
He proudly smiled and lightly kissed his daughter's soft cheek. Lark slipped her hand up on her father's arm, smiling and followed where he led.
Thanks, Daddy. That means a lot to me.
Rain nervously waited outside one of the tents they had set up next to the gazebo. Their commitment ceremony would take place overlooking the beautiful Atlantic Ocean.
You okay?
Shane asked, sidling up to his nervous sister. She stood staring off in the distance, basking about how perfect the day had turned out. The beautiful Florida sun was shining very brightly. There was a cool ocean breeze blowing, which eliminated the normally stifling humidity that the state was so famous for.
Yeah.
Rain stammered and looked at her brother, who held her very handsome little nephew, Matthew.
Let me see my little cutie pie.
Rain smiled and took Matthew from her brother's arms.
He looks so adorable in his little tuxedo.
Rain exclaimed and kissed his cheek.
Hello, handsome.
She cooed, looking into the delightful angelic fake of her nephew, and laughed when he smiled.
You're going to be quite the little heartbreaker.
She teasingly laughed and lightly kissed his forehead.
Rain, you look stunning.
Her father approached and stopped before her.
Thanks, Dad. I appreciate it.
Rain grinned, embarrassed, and tilted her head to accept the kiss he planted on her cheek.
Your mother and I did a great job of creating you, that's for sure.
He boasted with a chuckle and shared a laugh with his son and daughter.
Are you ready to give your heart away to Lark in front of everyone?
Absolutely. Is it time?
She asked, turning to Shane to hand Matthew to him.
I have it on good authority that Lark is ready to accept your offer, and quite eagerly, I might add.
He smiled mischievously and held his arm up for her.
Well, let's not keep my princess waiting, then.
Rain laughed and allowed her father to lead her towards the gazebo where the ceremony would be held. Rain insisted that Lark make a grand entrance. She would wait anxiously to meet her in front of the gazebo, with their fathers presenting them to each other. Rain waited nervously for Lark at the head of the aisle. She stood on the right with her best men, Brandon, Cole, Jace, Shane, and Matthew in his father's arms. Lark's best women, Holly, Elaine, her agent,
Renee, a cousin, and Lynette, another cousin, had already taken their places to the left side. Rain's butterflies began to soar as she stood at the steps of the gazebo. She heard the music that Lark insisted on having begin to play. She loved the song Bolero by Ravel and thought it would be fitting. The walk she would make was long, from the back porch of their house down the yard to their gazebo. Rain turned to see Lark approach as did the entire crowd. Everyone stared at the stunning beauty and let out a collective gasp. She was simply exquisite. Rain could barely see Lark when all the heads turned towards her. She stepped out towards the middle of the aisle to get a better view of Lark. She wanted to etch the memory in her memories for all of time. Rain intently stared at the approaching woman. It felt as if time had eased to a standstill. She walked in a slow, elegant rhythm to the seductive tango that flowed out of the speakers. Lark smiled widely when she saw Rain waiting for her. She looked at her father, smiling, as her green eyes welled with tears of joy and happiness. She looked back and couldn't believe her eyes. Rain never ceased to amaze her. She was certainly surprised with her attire today, that's for sure. Lark appreciated everything about the exquisite beauty, including the black, mid-thigh sexy form-fitting dress that adorned her tall lover. As she drew near, she couldn't help but be drawn to the provocative allure of the dress. The plunging V-neck dipped down to Rain's upper abdomen and was adorned with a sheer mesh material that added an edge of mysteriousness to the enticing dress. Every one of Rain's physical assets was complementing the dress. Lark's heart raced. It meant so much to her that Rain would wear the outfit. She knew Rain hated to wear dresses. She knew Rain had done it just for her, and she appreciated the gesture so much. Rain didn't realize she wasn't breathing until Brandon poked her, and she gasped for breath. He chuckled and was proud of himself for fulfilling one of his very important duties. He hadn't forgotten his aunt's instructions. Rain was mesmerized by Lark's beauty, the beautiful smile, the elegant music playing, and the sexy allure of Lark's emerald green eyes, sparkling from the reflection of the sun off the ocean, was more than Rain could bear. Rain's heart raced incessantly, and the emotions that welled within her were unbearably hard to control. Lark looked radiantly beautiful in her white Carmela Sutera dress. The length touched the top of her shoes, and the décolleté, tapered shoulder straps dipped between her breasts. Lark looked elegant in the white dress, with a lace design about it, and with white mesh sleeves down both arms. The bouquet of white peach and blue carnations with red roses mixed in accentuated her dress beautifully. Rain watched as the long dress gently ruffled from the light breeze coming off the ocean, and stood staring at the woman she would soon commit herself to forever. She was completely enamored with the elegant vision before her.
"I have something very important for you, Rain."
Senator Morgan beamed with happiness and offered his daughter's hand to Rain. Rain's father stepped before his daughter and placed Rain's hand on Lark's with a proud smile of his own.
"And I have something important for you as well, Lark."
Both fathers smiled and kissed the two blushing women before sitting down next to their wives. Rain smiled happily and gently moved Lark's hands into her own.
"You are so incredibly beautiful, Lark."
Rain replied breathless and lightly kissed her hand.
"You look so incredibly hot, babe."
Lark smiled and felt a catch in her heart when Rain kissed her hand. Rain smiled and gently lowered Lark's hand and led her up the stairs to the gazebo. Rain's brothers and nephews stood behind her as she turned to face Lark and held her lover's hands in her own. She looked up and caught a glimpse of Kali already crying as she stood behind Lark. Lark's best women looked on as they represented her side of the party. Both women lovingly stared at one another, lost in each other's gaze, thoroughly enjoying the tender moment. Rain breathed deeply and smiled.
"I suppose we should say something, huh?"
she asked with a chuckle and let out a nervous breath.
"Sounds good to me."
Lark answered with a smile, and both women turned to face their friends.
"We asked everyone here to join in our happiness and share the love we have for one another. We couldn't think of a better way of committing our hearts and souls to one another than doing it in front of all of you, our dear friends and family,"
Lark announced with a smile. She scanned the crowd as if she was personally speaking to each person individually. She looked at Rain and squeezed her hand tighter and lovingly smiled before continuing. She knew that Rain was extremely nervous speaking in front of everyone.
"The law says that we can't legally be married, but in our hearts we are married, committed to one another, as any married couple could ever be,"
Lark explained, holding her hand to her heart to emphasize her point, and smiled. She then looked to Rain, who turned and faced her. She stared deeply into Rain's blue eyes and lightly moved the dark hair that blew in her face. She smiled and began.
My life and love began the moment I met you, Rain. The moment I gazed into those beautiful blue eyes of yours, I knew you were the soulmate that I had been searching for my entire life. I knew we had been together before, in other lifetimes.
She inhaled deeply and felt her emotions consuming her. She sniffed back her tears as Rain clutched her hands tighter for comfort.
When I look into your eyes, I see all that I will ever need. Everything about you is everything to me. Every one of my prayers has been answered, and all of my dreams have come true since I met you. I know that being by your side is where I'm meant to be. I love you with all of my heart and soul, and I want you to have them for all of eternity.
Lark tearfully professed and smiled, inhaling deeply. Rain bowed her head and calmed her emotions. She was near the point of breaking down and crying, she was so filled with joy and happiness. She looked up to Lark and stared deeply into her tear-filled emerald green eyes and smiled.
Lark, it's impossible for me to capture into words the feelings I have for you, but I'll try the best I can.
She chuckled, as did Lark and everyone else.
When I try to express how I feel about you, the words never seem... The words never even begin to touch the depths of my feelings. When I'm with you, I feel as though I'm calm after the storm, on the waves of the ocean crashing against the shore. It seems as though everything that's beautiful surrounds us when we're together. The deep, all-encompassing feelings that I have for you are so strong that they can never be broken. I love you so incredibly much, and I cherish every moment I have with you. I always will.
You complete me.
Rain tearfully admitted and smiled lightly, kissing Lark's hand. Tears streaked both their faces. Rain turned to Brandon, who handed her Lark's ring. He had retrieved it from Matthew's pocket, who slept obliviously to everything. She slowly raised Lark's hand to slip on the 14-carat diamond-studded band. She smiled and glanced up at Lark, smiling, and slipped the ring the rest of the way on Lark's finger.
I love you so much, Lark. With this ring, I give you my heart and soul for all of time.
Rain professed. She was unable to control the tears that escaped her blue eyes as they quickly trickled down her cheeks. Lark held Rain's trembling hands and accepted Rain's ring that Holly offered her. She slowly slipped the band on the offered finger. It was a wide platinum band with sideways V shapes and four diamonds placed around the ring. Lark wanted a gold ring for Rain, but when she saw the platinum ring, she knew it was the one for Rain. She loved being different, and the ring suited her perfectly.
I can't remember a time when I wasn't in love with you, Rain. That will never change my love.
Lark smiled and kissed a ring on Rain's hand. Rain slowly moved towards Lark and gently rested her hand behind her neck. Her other hand rested on Lark's hip, and she drew her lover closer to her. Rain then pressed her lips against Lark's for a loving, soul-filled kiss. Lark wrapped her arms around Rain's neck and melted into the kiss, passionately deepening it. They both broke from the kiss, breathless, and rested their foreheads against one another, chuckling.
I love you.
Rain softly replied and kissed Lark again. Lark broke the kiss and smiled. Both women turned to the crowd as they clapped enthusiastically for the happy couple. Well-wishers inundated both women as they descended the stairs, never releasing their grip on each other's hands. They weren't ready to break their connection just yet, and both snuggled and cuddled happily as they spoke with their friends and family. They stopped occasionally to pose for many photographs present.
Let's get something to eat, everyone,
Lark shouted and pointed towards the tent with all the food.
Hey, Lark, Rain, Annette Brown from People Magazine. Can I get a few shots of you both and a comment, please?
The photographer eagerly asked, readying her camera.
Sure,
Lark smiled and glanced up at a lover who mischievously grinned. Rain stepped behind Lark and wrapped long, wonderful arms around her tightly to pose for the shot. Lark smiled happily and leaned her head back against Rain. Her tall wife lightly kissed her cheek just as the photographer took a picture.
Oops, sorry,
Rain replied with a sheepish grin.
Don't be. It was perfect,
Annette commented as she got ready for a few more shots. Rain stood up behind Lark and smiled for the next shot.
You can inform your readers that we are very happy and are completely in love.
Lark boasted with a proud laugh.
I sure will, and thanks for allowing me to take a couple of your shots. Congratulations.
The photographer gratefully replied and headed off towards the tent
for other shots of the various other celebrities and family members present. I'm surprised you allowed the media in here, my love.
Well, I figure it this way. The more you fight them, the more they hound you for your picture. And there was no way I would allow anyone to ruin our day. So I agreed to let People magazine here to take pictures. Besides, I love that magazine.
Lark explained and grinned.
I hope that's okay with you.
Lark nervously asked. She hadn't stopped to consider Rain's feelings on the matter.
You're the boss, my dear.
Rain teased and led her towards the food tent.
Rain!
Lark whined and stopped, stomping her foot.
Please tell me if you're upset.
I'm not, sweetheart. I was only teasing you. It was fine with me, so stop worrying and enjoy your day. Rain smiled and kissed her new bride.
Okay, let's get something to eat.
Lark coasted with a chuckle before brushing up against the partner as they made their way to the tent. The pair barely got anything to eat, or a moment's rest, as they divided their time between the family members and friends, not to mention the incessant pictures. Each time Rain would try to grab a bride, she was whisked off by another person for a dance. She sat alone watching her happy partner dance with her brother Jace, and decided it was time for surprise number two. She grinned mischievously and rose from her chair and casually strode towards the band to put in a request. The band finished the song, and the leader settled the crowd to make an announcement.
It seems Rain has a very special surprise for Lark. Please put your hands together and welcome her to the stage.
He held out his hand, gesturing toward Rain, who approached and took the microphone from him. She breathed deeply, trying to calm an overwhelming nervousness she felt when she looked out at the crowd. They all stared at her, waiting anxiously for her surprise. Especially Lark, who gladly accepted the chair that Jace offered her. She was centered in the middle of the dance floor with a clear shot of the woman who absolutely captivated her. Rain fought hard to calm the butterflies that fought for space in her stomach. She had an enormous feeling of vulnerability, standing there in front of everyone. But she wanted to do this for Lark.
Well,
she began and stammered nervously. She cleared her throat.
I wanted to give you a special gift, Lark. And just how do I do that when you have the best gift of all?
Me? She started laughing. She laughed, trying to lighten the seriousness of the situation. The crowd joined in, making her feel more at ease.
You got that right, baby. But I'm sure you could come up with something.
Lark teased with a broad smile. She wondered what Rain was up to. This was so unlike her. She had never known Rain to do anything like this before.
That's my princess for you. She has everything a woman could ask for, and she wants more. So that's why I had to come up with something very special to give to you, and this is what I came up with.
Rain laughed nervously as the band began to play the music for the song Amazed by Lone Star. Rain smiled and stared at Lark. The green eyes instantly filled with tears the moment she heard the song. She absolutely loved it and couldn't wait to hear Rain sing it. Her heart raced in anticipation and the emotions welled within her. She was so wonderfully touched to have Rain serenade her in front of everyone. Rain's voice cracked nervously the first words, but she quickly recovered as she sang.
Every time our eyes meet, this feeling inside of me is almost more than I can take. Baby, when you touch me, I can feel how much you love me, and it just blows me away.
Lark sat intently staring at her gorgeous lover as tears streamed down her cheeks.
I've never been this close to anyone or anything. I can hear your thoughts. I can hear your dreams. I don't know how you do what you do. I'm so in love with you. It just keeps getting better. I want to spend the rest of my life with you by my side. Every little thing that you do, baby, I'm amazed by you.
Rain smiled and moved off the stage towards Lark. She stopped before the beautiful blonde and gently wiped away her tears, allowing her palm to caress Lark's soft cheek, and sang,
"The smell of your skin, the taste of your kiss."
Rain slowly raised Lark's hand to her lips as she sang. Lightly kissing the back of her hand, she continued,
"The way you whisper in the dark, your hair all around me."
When you had longer hair,
Rain added with a chuckle along with everyone else.
"Baby, you surround me. You touch every place in my heart."
Rain moved Lark's hand to her heart and held it there. She continued to sing.
"It feels like the first time, every time. I want to spend the whole night in your eyes. I don't know how you do what you do. I'm so in love with you. It just keeps getting better. I want to spend the rest of my life with you by my side forever and ever. Every little thing that you do, baby, I'm amazed by you.
Rain gently pulled Lark up out of the chair as the music played and held her close to her, smiling. She stared deeply into the sea of loving green eyes. Rain lightly kissed Lark's lips and leaned her forehead against the soft blonde bangs as blues locked with greens. They swayed to the music, glossed in each other. They were both oblivious to the other tear-filled eyes gazing upon them. Everyone was shocked that Rain sang, and that she was actually good. Lark held Rain tightly and cried harder as she began to sing again.
Every little thing that you do, I'm so in love with you. It just keeps getting better. I want to spend the rest of my life with you by my side, forever and ever. Every little thing that you do, ooh, ooh, yeah. Every little thing that you do, baby, I'm amazed by you.
Rain finished and stared at Lark with a loving smile and was quickly engulfed in a tight hug. Lark captured Rain's lips for a passionate kiss. Rain deepened it as the crowd clapped loudly. Lark broke the kiss, whispering,
I love you so much, honey.
Both continuing the soul-searing kiss. Rain held her tighter and explored everything about Lark's mouth. Both broke away flushed and embarrassed when they realized that everyone was staring at them and clapping. They both laughed embarrassed and placed a fleeting kiss on each other's lips before taking a bow. Everyone laughed and clapped harder.
I need a drink. You buying?
Rain laughed and looked at Lark.
After that display, you can have anything you want from me.
Lark chuckled and kissed Rain on the cheek.
All right, I'll have the whole bottle then.
Rain felt Lark pinch her behind as they worked their way through the crowd, swarming the dance floor.
You cannot have the whole bottle. I want you functional for later.
Lark said, deftly replying, and wiggled her eyebrows suggestively.
Oh, baby. Can we get out of here now, then?
Rain sexily asked, smiling mischievously. Lark casually looked around for a discreet exit for them to make their escape and found one.
Come on over here.
She stepped towards their getaway and stopped dead in their tracks when they heard the loud, flamboyant voice shouting to them.
Lark! Rain! Darlings!
The man replied, pushing his way through the crowded dance floor as everyone looked strangely at him.
Dull!
Rain exclaimed, irritated. Both women cringed and slowly turned around.
Where's my gun when I need it? Now, I know why I don't like dresses. Now where to hide my gun? Who invited him anyway?
Rain asked, looking down at Lark, who sheepishly grinned.
He would have never forgiven us.
Lark pouted as he approached.
And that's a bad thing.
Rain teased half-heartedly through her clenched teeth and fake smile.
Yes, he's your agent, remember?
Lark teasingly replied and heard the low grumble of displeasure from Rain. Fawny made it to the women breathless and grasped both of them in a bear hug.
Oh, I just love the ceremony, and I'm so happy for the both of you. The ceremony and the song were so lovely. I just can't stop crying,
he exclaimed, finally relinquishing his hold on the two women. They chuckled awkwardly, trying not to offend the man who wiped away his tears with a hanky and a very limp wrist.
Well, thank you. We're so glad you could join us.
Lark lied with the biggest smile on her face. She felt Rain's grip on her hand tighten and gave her a sideways glance before looking back at Sal. It wasn't that they didn't like the man. It was just, well, he was very pushy and always had some scheme for the two of them to be involved in.
The food is delicious. The decor is beautiful and you both look so exquisite.
He excitedly replied, looking the women over.
Rain, you look magnificent in that dress. How about if I try to get you a modeling job with Victoria's Secret? I'm sure I could arrange it,
he confidently offered.
No thanks. I only wore this as a surprise for Lark. I don't want to do any modeling jobs for dresses.
How about that job for Old Navy? You can get on that one right away. Rain encouraged the man as she patted him on the back, guiding him away and hoping he would take the hint to leave.
Oh, sure thing. I'll get work on it right now.
He nervously answered and headed off away from the women, much to their delight. They both laughed as they watched him leave on a wild goose chase. There was no way he would ever land Rain on a modeling job with Old Navy.
Rain, you are so bad.
Lark laughed and looked up at her tall lover.
Hey, I had to do something to get away from him. Otherwise, we'd be here all night talking to him and agreeing to things we don't want to do just so shut him up. Besides, I didn't see you offering any help.
Rain laughed, looking at Lark.
Rain, Lark, your mother wants you to open the presents now.
Senator Morgan announced as he approached the two women.
Busted. We're not going anywhere now.
I didn't know you could sing that well, Rain.
He smiled proudly and kissed her on the cheek.
Me either, but I wanted to do something special for Lark.
It was so incredibly special, honey. You will never know just how much it meant to me.
Lark lovingly professed and stared dreamily into the eyes she loved so much. All the words in that song express everything I feel about you, Lark. I'm glad you liked it.
I loved it, honey.
Lark leaned up close to Rain's ear, whispering,
I hope you sing it to me later, but naked this time.
Lark's warm, silky voice resonated through Rain's ear, sent a flush of warmth and excitement straight to her core. She swallowed the lump that formed from her arousal and tried to compose herself in the presence of Lark's father.
Anything you want, honey.
Rain chuckled and looked at the center, who laughed.
Come on, you two. Mother's waiting, and we don't want to face her wrath if we keep her too long.
He escorted the two women towards the gift table and was stopped by Rain's parents.
Rain, we're flabbergasted. We never knew you could sing like that. It was so beautiful.
Maria hugged her beautiful daughter.
You should keep it up, honey. You have a beautiful voice.
Her father proudly advised her.
Thanks, Mom and Dad. I think I could keep my day job.
Rain chuckled, breaking the hugs as everyone followed them towards the gift table. It was time to begin their task of opening presents. After opening every imaginable gift for quite a while, Rain was growing weary. She wanted to be alone with the beautiful blonde she was sitting next to, and in a bad way. She was amazed that Harlark could be so reserved and polite about everything she was doing. She was nothing like that. It pained her to sit there and open presents in front of everyone, and she was positive it showed on her face.
The gritted teeth and fake smile has to be a dead giveaway.
Rain thought, agitated, and took the gift from Lark to look over.
What in the hell is this ugly thing?
She looked over the ugly green serving dish someone had given to them.
Who freaking gave us this thing?
Rain asked in a whisper, leaning over to Lark. The blonde smiled and answered under her breath,
One guess.
Rain looked up and saw the person who gave the offensive dish, the one with a proud smile on her face.
Aunt Edna. You know her. Everyone has one in his or her family. They give presents that they've had in their closets for years, and you know will never use.
Figures.
Rain answered sarcastically.
Hey, she's not on my side of the family.
Lark quipped with a laugh, opening the next gift.
She is now.
Rain answered, grinning mischievously, as she leaned towards Lark and kissed her cheek. Lark chuckled and smiled.
This is true. Maybe we can give it back to her for Christmas. Do you think she'd notice?
They both laughed hysterically.
All right, I've had enough of this. Can we stop now, please?
Rain pleaded desperately and flashed Lark a grin.
Yes, seeing as how we finished opening gifts.
Lark smiled and saw the relief on Rain's face.
Oops, forgot one.
Great, let's have it.
Rain sarcastically answered, disappointed that there was one more. She couldn't bear it if it was Aunt Edna struck again.
It's your present for me.
Lark mischievously smiled.
Is it you naked in our bed?
Rain seductively asked and hoped that that was her present.
I'll guess you have to follow me and find out.
Lark grinned and grabbed Rain's hand, leading her towards her present.
You're so sneaky, my darling.
Are you sure it's not you wrapped up in a bone naked?
Rain laughed and watched as Lark whispered something into her mother's ear. She watched as Taylor blushed and nodded with a mischievous smile. Lark pulled Rain towards the back portion of the tent.
Come on.
Lark softly informed Rain and pulled her through the open portion of the tent. They both headed towards the side door of the house, checking around them to make sure they weren't being followed. They quickly entered the house before someone figured out their ruse.
I finally have you all to myself.
Lark smiled and wrapped her tall lover up in her arms for a passionate wet kiss.
It's about time. You know just how much I was suffering sitting through the present opening process, having to look at you in all your beauty and sexiness, knowing that I couldn't ravage you right there and then.
Rain teased sexily and kissed Lark with a laugh.
Yes, I do know how you feel. I wanted to do the same thing, honey. Let's go.
She grinned and pulled her taller lover behind her towards the garage door leading to the house.
Hold it!
Rain halted Lark and scooped her up in her arms.
What are you doing?
Lark asked, giggling, as she wrapped her arms around Rain's neck, staring deeply into her blue eyes.
I'm carrying my bride across the threshold.
Rain smiled and chuckled, kicking the door open before proceeding through it with her bundle.
I love you so much, Rain Donovan.
Lark exclaimed with tears of joy in her eyes. She firmly kissed Rain as she carried her towards their bedroom suite, effortlessly. She opened the door without breaking the kiss and entered the room. Lark moved back from the kiss when she smelled the familiar aroma. She glanced around the room. It was filled with red roses, a large table of food, and a bottle of champagne, chilling in an ice bucket. You all know how Lark's appetite is, and Rain had to be prepared for it. Rain gently lowered her partner to the ground.
Lark kept the arm around Rain's waist, amazed at how romantic her lover could be.
Rain, everything about today has been so incredible. Everything you have done has been so wonderful and so romantic. You have just blown me away. Thank you so much.
Lark tearfully admitted and kissed Rain to show her appreciation.
I wanted you to know just how much I love you and how much you mean to me. I wanted you to know how special you are to me, Lark. You are everything to me, honey, and I want you to always remember that.
Rain sincerely professed as she slowly gathered Lark into her arms for a sensual kiss. Lark's hands traveled down her tall lover's sleek, sensual body, then back up under her dress. She wanted to explore what Rain had hidden underneath that dress. She knew what she would find there, but it was so arousing to see Rain dressed so provocatively. The shimmering dress piqued her passions. The goosebumps on Rain's body prickled in full force from the feeling of Lark's soft hands slowly moving up her legs. She felt as if she was the first time they had ever made love. The nervousness she felt was intriguing. She broke the kiss breathless and held Lark in her arms, softly nibbling on the soft flesh of her lover's neck. Rain's hands traveled to Lark's back and slowly unzipped her dress. She continued her assault on Lark's neck with her moist lips. Lark's thumbs hooked themselves on top of Rain's pantyhose and pushed the confining material down. Lark's lips found the firm flesh of Rain's breast and nibbled ever so softly upon them as she slipped the pantyhose further down Rain's long, slender legs. Her kiss traveled behind them down to her tall lover's body until they discarded to the floor. Rain gasped when she felt Lark's tongue and lips traveling down her abdomen. A smile slipped across her face. A flush of warmth traveled straight to her core the second she felt Lark's soft touch on her legs, and she felt her lips lightening her inner thigh. She looked down to watch her beautiful lover. She lightly stroked her fingers through Lark's short blonde hair and thought about just how much the woman before her ignited a raging inferno within her. She watched in delight when Lark disappeared under her dress. She felt Lark's hand grab her backside firmly.
"Oh, baby, it feels so good,"
Rain moaned huskily. She threw her head back in pleasure when she felt Lark's mouth kiss her wet mound. Rain spread her legs. Lark gladly leaned in, planning to lick Rain's hot mound to her heart's content. Rain's breathing became erratic with every stroke of Lark's tongue against her engorged nub, and she could barely contain herself. She wanted to watch Lark consume her, and she couldn't do it standing. She lifted her dress and stepped back, leaning down to lift Lark up.
"I want to watch you, my love,"
she whispered sexily as she pulled Lark up into her arms, kissing her deeply. Both women stood up, locked in a passionate kiss, and guided each other's dresses off in a heap to the ground. Their tongues fought for space in an erotic kiss, and hands roamed over overheated skin as they made their way to the bed. Rain sat down on the bed, and Lark stood between her legs, brushing her dark hair off her forehead, staring into her loving blue eyes.
"You are so freaking sexy, woman. You drive me insane,"
Lark replied with a laugh, holding Rain's face in her hands, and kissed her.
"Finish what you started, my love,"
Rain whispered through her kiss. She laid back on the bed as Lark quickly crawled on her. Lark smiled sexily and watched her dark lover move up on the bed in a more comfortable position and planted a sensual kiss upon her lips. Rain hugged Lark tightly and deepened the kiss, desperate to drink from the lips she desired so much. Lark's kiss moved from Rain's lips down through her cleavage to her taut stomach, lingering around her navel, aroused Rain's to no end. Lark felt her own wetness mount from the reaction of Rain's body to her kiss, and moved south, languishing amongst Rain's dark curls. Lark felt a tingling sensation pulse straight to her core when she breathed in Rain's musky scent. She loved that so much. Guiding Rain's legs apart, she slowly slipped her tongue inside the wet opening, and heard Rain gasp from the sensation. Rain caught her breath and leaned her head up to watch Lark work her magic. Lark's mouth moved in slow strokes, and she would occasionally catch a glimpse of her tongue sending her passion soaring. She couldn't help but notice how sexy Lark looked between her legs. She loved how Lark's sultry eyes looked when she would glance up at her occasionally and dip her tongue deeper inside of her. Watching Lark heightened Rain's passions, and she could no longer contain herself. Her hips bucked wildly, and she wanted to give all of herself. Rain grasped Lark's hands as she peeked and released her orgasm. Lark quickly devoured the offering. The sensuality, the eroticism, the love she felt from Lark overwhelmed her like never before,
and she released one orgasm after another until Lark fell on her chest, spent. She held Lark close to her and kissed the top of her head, reveling in all the feeling. Lark felt so good in her arms. She loved Lark so much, and it felt incredible. She held Lark as tightly as she could, and she still didn't seem close enough.
"I love you, Lark,"
Rain softly replied and kissed her forehead. Lark looked up and smiled.
"I love you with all my heart. I wish tonight was a night you would give me our child, my love,"
she honestly professed and kissed Rain soundly.
"That will happen soon. I promise you that,"
Rain softly guaranteed through their kiss. She deepened it as she rolled on top of Lark to explore everything about her young partner all night. To be continued.
Well, that concludes episode 134 of XNU, and that is Ab Initio, and that was chapter 11, if I correctly, or 12, actually, part of 12, 11 and 12. I hope everyone's enjoying the show. I forgot to mention also that, number one, I will be including a few pictures of my marathon escapade, so if you want to check them out over on the blog spot, you'll be able to see some of the more painfully excruciating things in life. Also, the cocktail hour that I had mentioned on the website regarding a blog spot that they have and reviewed, I will be updating that on the blog spot as well, so have a look at that and you'll see the updated spot for it. So that's all for this week's show. I know it's kind of short because there was a lot of announcements and information, but I also hope that maybe my voice will be cleared up by next week's show and we'll have a longer one. So if you have any questions or any suggestions or just want to say a shout out since I've been away for so long, send me an email at zena.uber@gmail.com. Also, please send any recipes or story suggestions or song snippets or announcements to me. I could use a few of them because we're starting to run low. But if that's all, I hope everyone takes care, and until the next episode, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.